You're listening to the World Health Organization podcast, Evidence in Action, Episode 2. I'm your host, Jamie Guerra. Welcome. In this episode, we focus on the outbreak of Zika virus, which has been reported in dozens of countries around the world from 2015 onwards. We found out what the long-term needs are for babies and infants that have been exposed to Zika virus infection before birth. Today, we're talking to Dr. Vanessa van der Linden, who was the first doctor to make the startling discovery of microcephaly being related to Zika virus infection. We then talked to Dr. Tarun Dua, a medical officer at WHO, responsible for issues associated with neurological problems, that is, disorders of people's nervous systems. Dr. van der Linden, as a neurologist in a public hospital, you have worked with babies and infants with microcephaly. This is a rare condition where a baby has a head size much smaller compared with other babies of the same age and sex. We know that microcephaly can be caused by a range of infections. So what was the moment for you in August 2015 that you first thought that Zika virus infection was a new cause of microcephaly?
Every Monday, I'm going to a maternity to see if there is some babies with neurological problems. One of these babies had diagnosis of microcephaly in utero. I excluded all other causes of congenital infections, but the pattern of his brain and the brain age is very peculiar. So this first patient, I think that's something stranger because I didn't find the cause of the disease. And then every Monday, I saw patients with microcephaly. So I think that's something stranger because microcephaly never appear like epidemic.
To get a second opinion, is it true that you then consulted with your mother, who is also a pediatric neurologist?
I said to her, there's something strange. I think that's a new disease. One day after this, she called me, Vanessa, I think that's really there's something strange because I'm in this hospital. Now, at this moment, I saw 7 patients with microcephaly. So it's not a coincidence. So 2 hospitals with so many babies. And then we try to understand what's happened with this mother. More than a half of these patients said, I had dengue during the pregnancy.
But you knew that the virus causing dengue fever does not cause microcephaly. What were your next steps?
I decided to go to the government to tell them and to ask help for try to make the exams for other virus, not the usual that we have the exams in the hospital. And I went to talk with the Secretary of Health of my city, of my state. And I said to him that there is a new disease.
You then talked to other specialists, and there was one who tried to identify the virus.
He made a research to try to identify the virus, at that time chikungunya and Zika. And I talked with him about the symptoms that the mother refers during the pregnancy, and that symptoms looks like more Zika than dengue.
This looks like real detective work. At the time, you only had a hypothesis that the cause of microcephaly was Zika virus infection in the pregnant mother. However, the following year, researchers established causality between Zika virus infection during pregnancy and microcephaly. Do we have a clear picture of microcephaly now?
My patients now, they are between 7 months to 60 months of age. To understand better the situation, we need the maturation of this central nervous system. And sometimes it's difficult to the mother to understand what's going to happen. So I think that they need time to understand. I think that we are only in the beginning of this.
What kind of stress is placed on mothers and families who have a child with microcephaly?
The mother needs to change their lives to take care of this baby because they depend on the mother. When we're talking about treatment, we're talking about the treatment of the family and the baby. Because if the mother is not good, the baby will not be good because she needs to be well, to be strong, and to take care of their babies.
What difference can support make in the lives of these mothers and babies?
Every time when you become pregnant, you imagine a perfect baby. And it's difficult when we saw that this baby is not the baby that you imagine 9 months ago. But I think that with the time and with the support, they love their child more than a normal child sometimes.
Thank you very much for your insight on this subject, Dr. van der Linden. It's been a pleasure having you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Dua, as the babies grew older, WHO noted health problems other than microcephaly. Could microcephaly just be the tip of the iceberg?
These babies had some problems with their hearing. There were eye problems. Then they had very stiff limbs. Sometimes they had seizures. So it emerged that it is not only one single manifestation of a small head, but a range of manifestations. And in technical terms, we call it as a syndrome.
Why is it important to detect congenital Zika virus syndrome early on?
It is absolutely essential that the pregnant woman who has been exposed to Zika virus infection is followed up, and there is a strong suspicion that this baby might have some problems, so that we can provide appropriate support to these babies and the mothers.
One of the first things WHO did in 2016 was to develop guidelines for policymakers and health professionals. For example, there was one on psychosocial support for pregnant women and families with microcephaly related to Zika virus infection. Does WHO have plans for future guidance?
So WHO is developing a toolkit for program managers. That will give us detailed information on how we can train the doctors, how can we train the nurses so they can better support the babies and the families. And this includes all the aspects from the diagnosis, from management, from follow-up to the psychosocial support that is required.
What does WHO recommend in the long term?
Quite a bit can be done for these babies that they can live as normal as life is possible. So, for example, the baby is not growing well, is having some problems with feeding. So we need to provide support with the feeding. The baby needs stimulation and support so that the development can be stimulated. That requires that the governments, the countries invest in doing so. And it invests in training professionals, it invests in the infrastructure that is made available to support the baby and the family.
Thank you for talking with us today about WHO's long-term support to families and their children with congenital Zika virus syndrome.
Thank you.
The next episode will look at the role of ethics in infectious disease outbreaks. We focus on how bioethics can help us make sure that the benefits of Zika virus response outweigh harms for society. Stay tuned for the next episode of Evidence in Action. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Zika and complications on www.who.int. For the World Health Organization, this is Jamie Guerra in Geneva.